の彼方に光る星、青い地球。
Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area in Lafayette, California. And I want to thank Doug and Don for all their fantastic help. And welcome my good friend Simon to the program. Simon, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks, Ted. Glad to be back on.
Oh, good. It's good to see you. Good to see you. I'll just make a few announcements and I'll bring Simon on. I want to thank everyone so much for all their beautiful love and support and for making Out of This World Radio a spiritual program. The purpose of my show is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this world a better place. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit listener-supported station. And if you'd like to donate, it's just $5 a month or $50 for the year. And if you'd like to donate, just go to my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net, and you can click on the little PayPal buttons there. I'm also broadcasting two more radio shows as well in Miami, Florida, on WWNN, on four radio stations there on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then again in Vienna, Austria, on Mondays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central European Time. All broadcast information is on my web at www.outofthisworldradio.net. And I hope you can listen to those shows as well. During the first hour, I'll be bringing on Simon, and then it'll be followed the second hour with Michiko Hayashi and Leon McLaughlin of the Clean Water Foundation talking about our efforts to raise food and clean water for the beautiful Hopi Indians and Navajo Indians in Arizona. I hope you can listen to that show. We've been raising quite a bit of money for them, and I'm so happy people are coming out with all kinds of donations. And I especially want to thank American Airlines for their support of our efforts to raise funds for clean water and food for the Hopi, as well as President Trump, who initiated the work with American Airlines on giving money to the Hopi. So I just want to thank both American Airlines and President Trump for their beautiful support, as well as everyone else around the world who's donated to our efforts. I'm at Mount Shasta today. I'm not out in the mountain, obviously, now, but I'm very close to the mountain, and the vibrations are very high. The mountain has shifted into the fourth dimension, and it's getting ready to shift again into the fifth dimension. Last night, we saw a Pleiadian mothership with Admiral Halosaurus in the ship. He's invited me on the vessel tonight, so I'm looking forward to meeting him and the crew. The vessel itself is half organic and half metallic. It's approximately 20,000 years ahead of us technologically, so it should be a trip that's really out of this world. I'll tell everyone all about it next week when I'm back on the air. I published a book a year before last called Messages from the Masters. It has messages from Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, President Kennedy, and many other great spirits on our beautiful, bright future. If you'd like a copy, just send me an email to Out of This World Radio. Out of This World 1150 at gmail.com, and I'm happy to send you a copy. I also have a special 528 love tuning fork with Lemurian crystals from here in Mount Shasta. If you'd like one of those, when you hit it, it spreads love everywhere it goes, and they're just $50. If you'd like one, just send me an email to Out of This World 1150 at gmail.com. And with that, Simon, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could come on today. Thanks so much.
Hello, Ted. Yes, it's been quite an exciting time. You know, the news over the last few days has been quite in-depth. Every week, it's really busy, and we know that and we say that. But I think the last few days, there's been quite a gear change, quite a jump in the information coming through. So I guess that's something we can talk about during the next hour.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there's an old Chinese saying that may you live in exciting times. And it's nothing to be bored about now. When I drove down to Mount Shasta a couple days, Simon, ago, I passed through an area in Southern Oregon called Talent, Oregon. And what was interesting, about a week ago, I discovered a videotape on YouTube showing actual particle beam weapons being fired from the sky above San Francisco right into Talent in Medford. And the weapons were fired every 30 miles in Southern Oregon. And it was like pre-planned. They hit talent. Most of the town's gone now. There are places where the house itself is gone. Cars were hit in the middle and fried, but yet you've still got trees and shrubs and all, other vegetation. It's not a natural fire. But one of the problems is that there's about 1 million people now homeless in the area. And there is a militia, I've been told, forming of about 100,000 people, and they're armed with guns. And they're I've been told they're planning on going to march on Salem, the state capital, to protest their treatment because they feel like they're not getting any help from the government. And I remember you had a post on your website about armed militia in the States. And it's kind of like sometimes I think, Simon, when people are pushed too far, they have no other recourse. They'll take things into their own hands. And I hope it doesn't get too violent. The other thing I noticed driving down through Portland, there was a radio program on the upcoming riots planned by Antifa in Portland. They notified them ahead of time. They call them peaceful protests, but they've had over 100 arson fires recently in Portland. The city's a mess. It's not safe in the downtown area at all. So whenever I drive through Portland, I always try to avoid this city by going around the town. But it's not a safe place anymore. It used to be a beautiful town, much like Seattle. Seattle downtown looks like an area somewhere in Afghanistan right now. Everything's boarded up, hardly anybody on the streets. There was a report a week ago where Antifa was throwing Molotov cocktails at cars in downtown Seattle. So people pretty much stay away from the area now. But I hope this subsides soon. Simon, a lot of people feel are pretty full of anxiety about what's going on. I don't know what you've heard, but that's what I've heard on the boots on the ground here.
Well, first of all, the beam weapons, we don't know whether these energy weapons are being fired from a helicopter or whether they're being fired from a satellite. In other words, something further up. Getting reports that it's a combination of helicopters and satellites. We know that in 1980, the US military had a particle beam weapon that they mounted on a tank. It wasn't actually a tank, it was an armored personnel carrier. Mm-hmm. But it shows that in 1980, they needed something of that bulk and size to produce the energy to fire. So that was 1980. Here we are, 2020, which means it's probably something about the size of a fridge would be able to produce the same amount of energy. Mm-hmm. So the miniaturization of technology means that it is perfectly possible that such a weapon could be mounted in a helicopter and fired. So that's the first thing. Second thing, the militias are forming on both sides of the front, if you like. Mm-hmm. You've got the Patriots on one side, and you've got those who are clearly designing to cause a problem. And then you've got the black militias in the middle who actually are just really frightened that there's a white supremacist movement going to start up, and they will be back in the troubles they were in the 1960s. So, that's the mix we've got, and it's a perfect storm which would bring in the United States military, on a curfew to protect the Constitution. So, it is quite difficult at the moment because we can't clearly see how it's going to pan out. We know in the end, Ted, it's going to be all right, but I'm talking about the run-up between now and November the 3rd. It's very difficult to see how that's going to go. The president has said that if the elections are free and fair, he won't have a problem in abiding by them. But if they're not free and fair, then he's not going to abide by them. Now, that's made a lot of people start shouting and screaming, but the reality is, if you were in a competition, let's say, and the first prize was $1 million, and somebody was cheating, would you sit there quietly and let the other person get the $1 million? No, of course you wouldn't. You would immediately say, this has got to stop. And that's all that Trump's doing. Trump's saying, I can see problems ahead, and I'm just letting everybody know that if it's proved there's problems, don't expect me to just go quietly. So I don't think he said anything wrong, actually. Mm-hmm. I think he's making it clear that, you know, so no one can turn around and say, oh, well, you know, we didn't expect that.
Sure.
I still think that the president is going to outperform the official polls. I still think that when people go to the election booth, they will really think very carefully about the burnt out cars, the trashed businesses, the attacked federal buildings, and the attacked people. And they'll say, you know, what am I choosing? Am I choosing law and order, or am I choosing anarchy? That, I think, is the bottom line. And it's become that. The president didn't, to my knowledge, start that off. You know, these were riots on the streets, which he didn't start. And he's stood up to them. So people have got to choose, Ted. And I mean, maybe I'm wrong, Ted. Maybe everybody thinks the riots are good. Maybe they think it's a freedom of expression. Maybe they do think that collateral damage means that people have to die and businesses have to be burnt and schools have to be shut. Maybe they think that's right. According to the media, that is right. But according to everyone I speak to, that's wrong.
Right.
So that's my answer, Ted.
Only about 40 or 50 miles north of here, where I am right now, there are people who've lost their homes.
Ted, I can't hear you. It's gone very quiet.
Okay.
Can you just sort of speak up a little bit?
Can you hear me now? Is this okay if I yell at you?
Simon? Yeah, it's a little bit better, Ted, yeah.
Okay, good. Only about 40, 50 miles north of where I am right now, there are people, whole communities gone, where it looks like they're not natural fires. It looks like particle beam weapons have destroyed their homes. And the only thing left are trees and shrubs. Here and there, there's a car that's been hit by a particle beam weapon where it's disintegrated from the outside. And it's not a natural fire. I know the media is saying it's a fire, but it's not a natural fire. And as I mentioned before, there are 1 million people now homeless in Southern Oregon, where 3 weeks ago they had homes, businesses, families. That's all gone. And 100,000 people now, according to news reports, have formed a militia, and they're very upset, and they're armed as well. So I don't know what's going to happen, but people are very upset. The other thing I found out recently is that in Washington State, the western part of Washington, where Seattle is very politically correct. Democrats usually win elections there. And the reason, the interesting thing is that our governor is almost universally despised in the states for his police state lockdown, because there's almost no cases in the state now. The cases are actually dropping, even though he says they're going up, but he hasn't been unable to present the evidence that showing it's going up. But actually, our Secretary of State in Washington State, which is a mail-in voting, said there's a margin of error in most elections of something like 8%. Now, most elections can be won or lost by 2 or 3%. In the last election, in the primary, Governor Inslee, a Democrat, allegedly had 52% of the vote. But everybody's scratching their heads saying, how could that be? Because he's not popular. Many people have lost their jobs. The suicide rate among young people has skyrocketed to at least 1,000%. That's never talked about in the media. So we spoke about this before, and I think President Trump was right to be concerned about mail-in voting because they're subject to fraud, unfortunately. How do you feel about that, Simon?
When we think about people being pushed to the limit that they decide to show arms on the street, then that's quite serious, because the last time I think in history we can remember that with the US was when you guys were pushing the British out,
right,
and the Minutemen were immediately formed, and the militias were formed. I mean, even during the great, you know, riots and demonstrations of freedom in the late 60s, when the black people were quite rightly, you know, saying they wanted an equal life, we didn't see this level of arming. We didn't see it.
Right.
You know, so what we've got is groups of people who are totally frustrated. Now, what's interesting is that when you speak to advisors to the president, they are saying that they believe that they're going to win the House. Now that's flies in the face of what the established media are telling us. The established media are telling us that Biden is going to win by a big majority. And yet when you look on the ground, the information is remarkably different. And you know, can it be that so much of our life is controlled by a very evil force who has been feeding us lies and fakes for many, many years? Is it so blatant now that even ordinary people, God bless them all, can actually, you know, put one and one together and make two, because they are saying, you know, the powers that be are telling me this, but my own eyes tell me that. So in other words, you know, you look at a downtown area that's been destroyed, and yet you look at CNN, and it's just telling you it's peaceful demonstrations. So it's clearly a lie. The CNN can't be confused. They must know. And so people who live in those areas are really, I think, understanding that there's a serious manipulation of humanity going on. And who would have thought it in America? I would have expected it in China or North Korea or Vietnam or, goodness knows, help me, Cuba. I would never have expected it in the US. And I think that's how bad it's got, Ted.
Well, I live near Seattle, in the Seattle area. And I have firsthand information that there were about 8,000 people living in the Chaz area taken over by Antifa and Black Lives Matter this summer. And it's a good sized community. According to statistics released by the Seattle Police Department, there were a little over 4,000 police reports filed for serious felonies, murder, assault, name it. So that every one out of every two people experienced a crime, and many crimes are not reported. So that wasn't, you know, that wasn't reported in media, but that was a very dangerous situation. I don't know what it's like in downtown Portland, but I know people have been murdered there. It's not a safe place to go. There have been over 100 arson fires in Portland alone. It used to be a nice city. I wouldn't travel down there. If you could pay me, I wouldn't go down there. Forget it. And within the last 10 days to 2 weeks, there were Molotov cocktails being thrown at motorists in downtown Seattle. That wasn't reported by the media either. I have a friend who's an eyewitness to it. Nothing was done about it, as far as he knows. So I think that, on the other hand, I know we're going to win. The good forces are going to win. And that we have to keep positive about what's going on and not succumb to the negativity. And some of these negative entities, however, are very, very desperate. And But I'm still looking for better times for humanity's future. A couple of weeks ago, you know, I'm down at Shasta now, and I had many, many phone calls of people calling me up and said, aren't you afraid you're going to be roasted like a barbecue rotisserie if you go down to Shasta? And, you know, and I said, no, my angel said it's going to be over within a week to 10 days. And we prayed a lot for rain. And lo and behold, we got lots of rain, and it's fine now. There aren't any fires around here right now. The air is clear. So, I mean, I think it's important for people to realize that we are getting a lot of help, benevolent help from the spiritual world, from angels, and a lot of benevolent extraterrestrials, like the Pleiadians, are helping us now. They have over 2 million spacecraft now orbiting the planet. I'm good friends with the commander, the Admiral Halosaurus. I'll be going on aboard his vessel tonight. And so I'll get an update from him, too. But they're always on maneuvers helping us. They don't interfere directly. But if you ask for help, they're here. They're here to help us in the background. So that's what I know what's going on here. So,
go back to the first point. It would be wrong for people to think that if Joe Biden wins on November the 3rd, all of the riots and demonstrations will just suddenly cease on the 4th. Mm-hmm. That's not what's going to happen, because the same people that are behind the riots want Joe Biden out so that the vice president can become president. And so if it's announced that Joe Biden has won, those demonstrations are not going to stop, because those people want Biden out and they want the vice president to become president. So it's wrong for people to think that an easy solution is to vote for Biden because all the violence will just go away. No, it won't. This is a part of a project that these people are on. So that's the first part. The second part, there's more and more help coming because as here on Earth, we get closer to midnight. So people from outside our Earth are now moving in to be part of that final showdown, that final play. Because having watched us for millions of years, Ted, they're not going to sit on the sidelines and twiddle their thumbs. Mm-hmm. They've got too much invested here. Mm-hmm. And so what will happen is as we get 1 minute to midnight, then we will all see a much more effective, or should I say obvious, expression of assistance. Because I can tell you this, that there's no way certain of these groups are going to be prepared to see the project, that's us, the project destroyed.
Right.
And the project is the watching of humanity evolve. So no, they won't sit back and just let it happen. There's a fine line between free will and doing nothing and something being destroyed. Mm-hmm. So while these beings do believe in free will, they're not prepared to follow that to the destruction. So I'm very confident that there will be quite a big presence in the months to come.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thank you so much for that message, Simon. That's great. President Kennedy told me 2 months ago, and I'd like to share this message with you, Simon. He said, leave no one behind. Bring your neighbor with you as much as possible. And one of the things also he said that once people realize we all have the spark of the supreme being of the creator within all of us, we are all one. So if we're fighting someone else or causing problems for somebody else, all we're doing is hurting ourselves, basically. And this is an evolution. One of the things I liked recently is that President Trump and American Airlines both have stepped in to help the Hopi Indians in Arizona. And in previous days, you wouldn't expect a president of the United States to help some poor Indian tribe where the longevity for men is only 44 years and the longevity for women is 54 years. And that's because of the radiation contaminated water. But they're stepping in now to help with helping us raise money. And I feel so touched by that. But that's the kind of cooperation President Kennedy has said we need for the new world. We need to eliminate our political differences. In the animal kingdom, there's no such thing as Republicans and Democrats. There's simply that we're just all people, and we have concerns. And I think all of us are on the same page, Simon, and certainly in you too, and everyone around the world, that we want to make this world a better place. So once we realize that, there's no sense to argue and fight about anything. We can agree that we have different solutions to make the world a better place, but we have that one bridge that we are all one humanity.
I know we all have our own vision of these face masks, but mm-hmm. put that aside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another side to President Trump, which your audience won't know about, but I'll tell them, is that right back in March, mm-hmm. I know that he was authorizing the access of face masks should they be needed for the native North Americans on the reservations. In other words, he was saying if the virus got in to that community on the reservations, they should be able to have access to masks without having to come in to the cities or the towns. Now, regardless of whether we think face masks are any good or not, mm-hmm. what it showed with the president was actually thinking about this native community. He was actually thinking about them, and most politicians in America don't give a damn, and I mean that exactly right.
That's true.
Without any pressure on him, he actually, I know for a fact mm-hmm. that he actually said we've got to do something for all these guys on the reservation. Because he said, I can't see them coming into the cities, and how are we going to deliver, you know, truckloads of masks? So, you know, as I say, regardless of whether we like them or not, the very fact was that President Trump was thinking about the Hopi and all the other groups actually right across North America. And I can let a secret out here. I'm not hurting anyone, that There are many American bases everywhere. Storage bases. There was a storage base in Britain, and I know for a fact that that storage base was that the face masks on from that storage base in Britain, which is American property, was sent to America ready to distribute to the reservations should the virus go in there. Now, what I've heard is that they're keeping themselves very much to themselves, and the virus isn't as bad as it is in the cities. Well, that's what I've been told. So just another little point. And the other thing that I'll quickly say that is not told by the media was when 9/11 occurred, mm-hmm. 2 days or so after Trump, who wasn't the president back then, mm-hmm. He went to the scene, and out of his own pay packet, his own salary, he paid people just to keep looking for survivors. So in other words, someone was doing a shift, and then he was saying, I'll pay you extra to do a couple of hours more. So, you know, he wasn't a politician then. He just was a businessman, and he wanted to do that. So there is actually a wonderful side to President Trump. Right. And I'll just finish off by this point. Today I went to my local store, a bookstore. This is, I'm trying to get my message to the audience how the cabal is so in control. I'm in Great Britain, England, United Kingdom. I went to a bookstore. In the front window, there's a book, top billing, selling a book about Obama, President Obama. In the corner, another book about Obama, different. Then in the bottom, a book about Michelle Obama. And in the other hand, the book written by one of the members of the Trump family absolutely attacking Trump. Now, that window is just a standard bookshop. It's a chain. It's not a family business. It's a chain. Look how they've been controlled. Their front window, looking out over the sidewalk. Three books about the Obamas, all positive and glowing. Aren't they wonderful? And then the book attacking President Trump. Now, this is what I'm trying to get across to people. It's not just CNN. It's not just that. This evil has seeped in and permeated right through our community. And the only reason that President Trump is being attacked is because the cabal don't control him.
Well, that's very interesting, Simon. And I'm sure you've run into this yourself with your kind of work. As my show has become extremely very popular, I have had instances, I don't want to give too many on the air, but I've had instances where I've had intelligence officers from various three-letter agencies act like friends who want to get to know me better, and I don't know, that they don't really have the greatest motives. But I think light workers around the world should know that the negatives are getting very desperate. And they're doing everything now they can to stop the ascension. And so you have to be careful. I'm very careful now about people who come on my trip, because I've had problems in the past where there were negative people who tried to disrupt things. And so I have to ask them to leave. Unfortunately, I don't like doing that. But I think light workers around the world need to take precautions every day and be careful who they associate with. If you get a negative feeling from someone, back off.
Ted, if you think you're taking groups of people to a key location that is already making a transition from the third through the fourth to the fifth,
right.
Three letter agencies are going to want to see what's happening. They are going to want to come along, because look, if a three letter agency stuck a camera for 300 days of the year, they'd see nothing. But if they come with you and a party of people, they're going to see something. So from their point of view, it's cost effective. Rather than spend the agent's time for 300 days, they can come and do 3 or 4 days with you. It saves them thousands of dollars, and they might actually learn something. So light workers across the world that are connecting with special points on the earth are going to be investigated. They are going to be interacted with, and as always, it's a bit of a tightrope, because, you know, you don't want to push these people away and get them to be angry with you, but at the same time, you have to protect your sovereignty. So it is a bit of a give and take, because these people are very powerful. You know, they have the power to stop an airline flying a group out. They have the ability to make customs not let you in. So we have to be realistic about it. But actually, they need you more than you need them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Simon. Excellent advice. And, you know, I've heard stories from James Gillian. He has his Isetti contact ranch in southwestern Washington, where various people from those agencies have showed up, and they go, they're on assignment, and after they listen to Mr. Gillian give his speech and they learn about UFOs, they actually quit their jobs and then say, you know, you're right, I learned something. So, you know, again, this brings me back to the earlier point. We're all in this together. We really are. And I think everybody around the world wants to have a better place, a better world, a happier world. And so that, in that sense, we're all on the same page, whether we're Republicans or Democrats or against this or for this. We have to look at the broader picture, as President Kennedy has told me many times.
See, in 1947, there was the Roswell incident. Right. If it was made up and there was nothing to it, why did the authorities behave the way they have behaved ever since then? Science fiction movies have been going since the 1920s. Actually, no, they haven't. I'll correct myself. They've been going since 1900. The very first silent film, I think, was called Journey to the Moon. It was in French. Mm-hmm. And that was about a 5-minute film long and silent movies. But
actually, in the 50s, I remember that. Really,
okay. It really kicked off in the 50s. And yeah, the very first science fiction film of the 1950s was called The Flying Saucer. And it was made in 1950. And it was the most boring film you've ever seen. But it's in the history books, because actually, if you can get hold of an old copy, on the credits, it comes up and says, this film has been approved by the FBI. Actually comes up on the credits. I've got an old copy which comes up with that. Now, why would the FBI be interested in a science fiction film? And it basically, the FBI said, we want to watch it before we authorize it. We're going to see it. And it was just a Cold War film about Russians and Americans, and it was fine. I had no problem with it. But if Roswell was not real, why would the FBI sit and vet the very first science fiction film called The Flying Saucer? So, you know, often we see the truth through other people's actions. Mm-hmm. And remember that in 47, we saw a free press tell the world that a flying saucer had been captured on the Roswell airfield. Right. And the following day, we saw non-free press, how it was all redacted and taken away. And from that moment onwards, yeah, free press was dead.
Right. They said it was a weather balloon.
Yes, they said it was a weather balloon. And I've got the photographs, and they are available. Of the poor old, I think it was the major and a colonel, wasn't it? Looking for this photo opportunity, right, and so embarrassed. Yeah. And not just embarrassed, but you could see that this guy has taken the oath. He believes in the truth, and he's having to lie. And you see it on his face. And there was, I think it was a captain. It was a captain who got promoted, of course, a captain and a major. And you're thinking, you feel for these people, because they are the ones pushed out in front of the cameras to tell the big lie, while the big bosses behind who are pulling the strings, you know, they don't have to take the can for it.
Well, you know about the New Zealand New Zealand article on the JFK assassination, dated November 22nd, 1963, that was published while JFK was still alive. I've got a copy of that here. I could bring it to the camera if you want. But that's an amazing story too, in and of itself. There's all these little things. There's questions about, what was it, building number 7, the 9/11, which there was a BBC reporter, Simon, and she was reporting that the building had collapsed, but the problem is that the building was still standing when she was saying that it collapsed. So they do make mistakes. Things do come through if you're careful and you pay attention. But this is a time of truth, that things I think that are true will become evident as being true, and those that are false will be shown to be false and fall by the wayside. And I think that goes for governments, private corporations, interpersonal relationships, all kinds of things. And because it's a time of truth, you're going to see more and more truth coming out, and people are getting tired, I think, of being lied to and manipulated, my personal opinion.
Well, most people learned about 9/11 and look on it now through the television, through the video that was shot. But we know for a fact that it was utterly faked. Mm-hmm. And on YouTube, there are clips, you know, official clips, semi-official clips, which are faked. And, you know, there's this one thing where I don't know the ins and outs of it, but there's a group of people at the very bottom of one of the towers and, you know, just happens to be in the right place at the right time when the camera looks up and catches an aeroplane appearing to crash into it. But if you strike out 90% of all the eyewitnesses who were all employees of media companies, okay, all staged up, if you strike them out, mm-hmm, the number of people who did not report an aeroplane but reported a missile is very interesting. So what I'm saying is, if you're a historian now, 2020, and you're looking back and you only have the access to the video footage, you would believe what you were supposed to believe. Now, when an archaeologist wants to go and dig up an old temple, he or she digs down in the earth and they find the truth, because they're physically there digging down with their own hands, their own eyes, mm-hmm, and they experience it. But we're in a digital age, and now people tend to do their research not by physically going somewhere and doing it, but by accessing the records. And if you can fake the records, you can fake history.
That's true. There is, I'll discuss some posts on Simon's website. I'll go over that now with everybody. It's fascinating, really, what he's written. One of the ones was, his first post is that he can confirm that Hillary Clinton did in fact advise Joe Biden not to concede the election result under any circumstances. And that's too bad. He said that also that Trump would be forced. She had apparently told Mr. Biden that Trump would be forced out of the White House if he did not go voluntarily. So anyway, that's one of the posts that he has. He also has another post that Hunter Biden, Mr. Biden's son, sent thousands of dollars to women with ties to Eastern European prostitution and sex trafficking rings while his father was overseeing U.S. policy in the Ukraine, according to a Republican report. So that was another post on his website. Finally, and we can talk about this if you like, the Kentucky governor has instituted the National Guard in a state of emergency. And I hope that it was ordered, the governor ordered the National Guard in before regular army units were ordered in by President Trump. I want everyone around listening today to send lots of love and light to Kentucky and hope that they can bring peace and tranquility to the area, as well as to the people of Portland as well. Now, there are three so-called planned demonstrations this weekend in Portland and coming up soon by Antifa. And please send lots of love and light to Portland. They really need it. There's been over 100 arson fires started in the Portland area just during the summer now, with much of the downtown area burned out, looking like a ghost town. But please send lots of love and light to the people of Portland. They sure need it. The other post he had was on that the there was a report from Secretary of Defense Epstein saying that China used directed energy beam weapons to start fires in California. That was a question mark. There are lots of videos, if you look on YouTube, of apparently particle beam weapons being fired at Southern Oregon and also in California. I know in Southern Oregon, the fires along Interstate 5 freeway were every 30 miles. Now, how could a natural fire be calibrated to every 30 miles? Of course, that's impossible. But there are videotapes of the of these particle beam weapons. They look like red laser sheets going across the sky. And they're actually from satellite pictures. And I've got the YouTube videos. I played one of them last week. But it raises a lot of questions regarding the origin of these fires. And I remember when I was, I went to college in California back in the mid 70s. And of course, we had hot summers down here in California, but we never had the amount of fires that we have now. But one of the good things that that all of us did, I did this on my shows for the last 2 or 3 weeks, was to pray and meditate and ask for God, if you will, the Supreme Being, to come in and give us lots of rain here on the coast of Washington and in the states, especially of California, Oregon, and Washington. It worked. They said we had rain, I think, within 5 days, downpours of rain. And I know Washington's getting a lot of rain today, and Oregon's getting rain, and I think even California, there's forecasting rain as well. So all these fires are out now, and people are breathing a sigh of relief. But I think the message is that we are all powerful spiritual beings, and we can create a much better and happier planet if we direct our energies in a positive way to make this world a better place. So I know back last January, Australia was getting burned up with tremendous fires all the way across that beautiful country. I have many friends in Australia. And so what we did on my show on January, I remember the dates, on January 3rd and also January 10th of this year, Michiko Hayashi of the beautiful Moto Peace Project joined me on January 3rd and the 10th. We did prayers for rain for Australia. And during that time, that of course was their summer, a time when they usually don't get much rain. It was a dry season. But we did a series of prayers. We asked all the light workers listening to my show back then to send lots of love and light to Australia and asking that there be rain. And lo and behold, they had record amounts of rain in Australia and at a time in the year when there was just no rains at all forecast. And it went on, and all the rains, the same rain saved Australia, brought needed relief from the fires then. And we did the same thing here in California, Oregon, and Washington, by just using the power of our mind. There's a university in Iowa called the TM University, Transcendental Meditation. I think they're in Fairfield, Iowa. And there they did an experiment back in the late 70s or early 80s, where they had like all the university students and staff, about 1500 people, took like just 10 minutes out and they prayed for world peace. Just the whole world prayed for world peace. And after that, amazingly enough, all the crime rates, all the crime rates and statistics for serious and minor crimes all over the world dropped like 70%, just like that. And they did it with just a few minutes of prayer. So what I'd like to do, it's too bad that we lost Simon. If he comes on, I'll bring him back on. But I want everyone to pray for world peace right now, to visualize this planet, this beautiful planet living in with everyone living in peace and harmony, because that's where we're headed. That's what all of my friends on the other side told me. Actually, President Kennedy, Nostradamus, and George Washington, and Thomas Jefferson all told me about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, they wanted to trade places with us now so they could experience this ascension here on planet Earth. Of all the planets in the universe, guess which one? Earth is now the hottest show in the universe. It's not any programming on TV. It's Earth, and it's this planet right now, and they're all watching to see what we do in our ascension. Simon mentioned this on my show a couple of months ago, but most planets, when they advance, then they raise their vibrations and go into the different dimensions. What happens is that we're in third dimension here. When they go to fourth dimension, they can be there. The planet can be there for maybe 200,000 or 300,000 years before they go to the fifth dimension. Well, guess what we're going to do? We're so enthusiastic about raising our consciousness and to help with the Earth's ascension. We are shifting from third, spending a relatively short time, a couple of months in fourth, and then going right into the fifth. And what's interesting about Mount Shasta, it's the first place on planet Earth to physically go into the fourth dimension. I'm located where I'm right now, about 10 miles away from Shasta. After the show, I'll be going back up to the mountain doing prayers and meditation. And when you're up there, the dimensional level of Mount Shasta now is somewhere right above fourth dimension. It will be in the fifth by January. And it's going to be an amazing place, really an amazing place. I'm told next year, Japan will be going into the fifth dimension as well as Sedona, Arizona, and parts of Tibet also will be shifting into the fifth dimension. Now, people may ask, well, what's the fifth dimension? Well, there was a band back in the 60s, late 68, Aquarius, and they had a song called Aquarius, and they were called the fifth dimension. But beyond that, there are 12 different dimensions on this planet, with the 12th dimension being where the supreme being or the prime creator, the entity who created all this, resides. We exist here in the third. The fourth dimension is a dimension of time. And the fifth dimension is a much lighter dimension where there's still time, but time moves much slower than it does here. Back about 4 years ago, I had a group of Koreans actually go physically into Telos, into the hollow earth underneath Mount Shasta, into a fifth dimensional civilization. And what's fascinating, I'm bringing this up because the time slowed way down for them. For example, on their watches they had, third dimensional watches, it showed that they'd been only gone for maybe an hour. But when they came out, they've been actually gone for 8 or 9 hours. That shows you how time is different. There's still time in the fifth dimension, but it's different. And as we shift into the fifth dimension, telepathy will be the main form of communication. Already you're seeing that now with many people being able to communicate telepathically by just using their minds. And at one point on this planet, everyone communicated telepathically, but we're going to get to a place where people will be able to communicate telepathically by just, you could just look at your, if you're married, you could look at your husband or wife and know instantaneously what they're thinking, and actually whether they're trying to hide something from you or lying to you or cheating or whatever. In courtrooms, a judge or a prosecutor could, and attorneys, all they'd have to do is look at a witness or someone in the courtroom, and they can read their minds instantaneously. And what's going to happen is that no one will be able to hurt anyone else because everything will be like an open book. And like my psychic foster mother used to tell me, she used to say, you can't run away from God as you go into the fifth dimension. All other planets in this solar system are also shifting into the higher dimensions. And the last planet to catch up to this massive shift into the higher dimension in this solar system is this one, Earth. Now, the planet itself, I've been told, has already shifted into the fifth dimension. But the holdup has been humanity. And back about 4 years ago in September 2016, Mother Earth, Gaia, is a living entity. And she said, I've had enough. I'm going to go ahead. And humanity is welcome to join me in our ascension process if they want. But I'm going to start my ascension. And you can tell she started her ascension because what's called the Schumann residence, which is the residence frequency of planet Earth, doubled in September 2016. For tens of thousands of years, that Schumann residence, the frequency of Mother Earth, was actually 7.8 hertz. And it doubled in that month to 13.8 hertz. And since that time, it's gone higher and higher and higher. And what's amazing about Mount Shasta, there is places on the mountain right now which are above 500 hertz. And that's a significant number because the frequency of love on this planet is 528 hertz. So that Shasta itself is entering into the frequency of love right now. And other parts of the planet will also enter into that frequency within the next couple of years. By 2025, 2024, President Kennedy tells me that the entire planet will become one big bright white light, golden light of higher dimensional frequencies into the fifth dimension. So we have a fantastic, very wonderful future ahead of us. For people who don't want to ascend, who don't want to stick to the old third dimension, that's fine. This is a planet of free will. And for those entities, they will go to another planet, Earth-like planet, on the other side of the solar system, where they will live out their karma for about 25 to 26,000 years, or one Mayan Ketun cycle. It's a Ketun cycle because it's the amount of time it takes for this solar system to go around the central sun of this galaxy, and they will be given that opportunity to work up their karma and given another chance to ascend if they wish. As my friend Albert Einstein has told me many times, matter is not destroyed, energy is not destroyed, it's simply transformed into another form. I'm so sorry we lost Simon, but I know I'll have him back again. I just want to see if he's written me any. Okay, not yet. But anyway, Simon's a good man, and I'm always happy to talk to him. In a few minutes' time, we'll be bringing on Michiko Hayashi, the beautiful director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo. And I want to tell, want to thank Michiko for coming on. I think it's something like 3 o'clock in the morning there. I know she's sleepy, so I hope she's awake for the show. And also, I'll be having on Liam McLaughlin, who's the president of the Clean Water Foundation of Washington. As I explained before at the beginning of the show, the Hopi Indians, beautiful Hopi Indians and Navajo too, but especially the Hopi, they've been drinking carcinogenic water that's been contaminated with radiation and arsenic for the past 60 years, believe it or not. That's a long time. And the result of that is that what's happened is that the longevity of Indians on the Hopi reservation, men only live about to age 44, and women live to, on average, about 54. Where the rest of the country, I'm not sure what the longevity is now in the United States. It's probably close to 80, 78, 80. So their lifespans are about 40 to 50% less than the rest of the population in the United States. And a lot of it's caused from the bad water. And we're making a difference today, thanks to Leon and Michiko and Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network. We're raising funds to pay for clean water filters for the Hopi so they can at least drink clean water, which is a big step for them. Also, too, the Hopi also need food supplies. A lot of their food supplies have been cut off from the virus, and so we've been raising monies as well for new food supplies, that's coming through too, which has been really good. So I'm just waiting for Michiko and Leon to come on. It's 11 o'clock now, and so this part of the program, I want to bring them on and talk about our efforts for clean water. And I'm so sorry we missed Simon earlier today, but I think we covered a lot of good topics. And I want you to know that we have a beautiful and bright future ahead of us. I did a pre-recorded interview with Michiko on her efforts with the Emoto Peace Project earlier. I'm going to be playing that here pretty soon. That'll be good. She hasn't come on yet, but I hope she comes on soon.
Tani hikari.